Hello and welcome. I am your host for the evening, Goblin Queen, and tonight I have a mixed bag episode for you of a variety of stories from a variety of sources. And really the only thing that connects them is, well, they're paranormal in nature. But also I think they're all a little bit strange. I mean, I always try and find the weird ones if I can, and that's what I tried to do here. So let's not waste any time. Let's just go ahead and get right into it. I'm going to read you stories. In between stories, I'll read comments if it's on some kind of public forum where there's interesting comments. I will give my own thoughts. If we need to expand at all on folklore or anything, we will do that. So if that sounds good, let's get right into it. The first story I'm going to read was submitted to the Paranormal subreddit by LovelyBloom1988, and it's called Walking Skeletons on Top of a Train Car. When I was 6 or 7, we moved out to a ranch on the countryside of Laredo, Texas. Most houses were isolated and surrounded by woods. My mom and stepdad decided to rent this house because rent was cheap. Only $350 a month. No indoor plumbing or central air. A lot of low-income families lived out there. There was a family that lived next to us, a family of 6 kids, all girls and 2 adults. They were also low-income and often didn't have much to eat. My mom would often help them out with food, and in return, the kids would come over and help my mom clean the house. One day they came over and ate dinner with us, helped my mom clean, and me and the youngest girl, that was about my age, fell asleep on my bed. After a while, my mom woke us up because it was getting late and she needed to go home. Her sisters had left her behind because they didn't want to wake her. It was a good walk to her home. There was a dirt road leading to our house to get to hers. My mom was going to send my brothers to walk her home, but I butted in and said, "Please, can I walk her?" As we were friends, my mom said yes. So I then walked her to the gate, we parted, and I started on my way home. When, out of nowhere, she comes running behind me, crying, throws herself at me, and pulls me down by the shoulders. I ask her, "What's wrong? What happened?" She points up and says, "Look up there, look!" She was pointing up at the top of some abandoned train cars, and what I saw to this day, I cannot explain. There were 3 skeletons walking back and forth. One was laying on its side, and it had clothes on, too, a tank top and shorts. The other 2 were standing up, just walking back and forth behind that one, stopping and waving hi at us. We looked at each other and ran to my house. I quickly told my mom what we saw. My mom and 2 brothers, plus us, went back to look, and they were still there, waving hi at us. We threw rocks at them, but the rocks didn't faze them, just like went through them. Either that, or we were bad at aiming. After a while, we went home and never saw them again. To this day, I can't seem to understand or be able to explain how those skeletons were moving. Some will probably say we were hallucinating, but how can 5 people see the same thing? Some have said that it was Halloween props, but no, it was the 90s, and I have never seen Halloween props that moved that well during that time. The technology wasn't real yet for that kind of movement. Halloween props like that cost a lot of money, and that family couldn't even afford to eat. We were in dirt poor country. Alright, so pretty weird. Can't say I've heard anything quite specifically like that, but I really love the strangeness of it. Let's just go ahead and get right into comments first. There's a good back and forth, and the OP is part of the discussion, which I think is always a good sign. Someone asks, "How long did you all stare at the skeletons before leaving?" The OP says, "When me and the little girl saw them, it was maybe a minute. She was crying hysterically. I wasn't really scared. I was just more shocked because I couldn't believe what I was looking at. We took off to go get my mom and brothers, which took us maybe 5 to 6 minutes. And when we came back, They were still there and still waving hi at all of us. So I would say maybe like 10 to 15 minutes total. I thought maybe they might be puppets, but that means someone would have to be in a tree or something to move them, and there were no trees around. Yeah, so, I mean, not only are there multiple witnesses, but also when they initially saw them, they left and came back. And it was still going on. You know, she even brings up in her story that they even thought maybe it was some kind of Halloween decoration, something like that. But they said they didn't really have the technology for that kind of setup. I mean, even if it was on some kind of like film production scale, props or something, who would go to all that trouble in some rural area to set all this up on some abandoned train cars on someone's property? Later, she mentions, it'll come up, she mentions where specifically this took place in Laredo, Texas. And I looked at it and it's really out in the middle of nowhere. There's no reason someone would go to all this trouble. And like she said, it's like people have other things to worry about in this neighborhood than rigging up this weird set. You're thinking if it's people or something in some kind of costume, although, again, she's going to go into more details on how that probably didn't seem likely. She said they threw rocks at them, and the rocks didn't faze them. I mean, if it was a person, whether or not they're good or bad at aiming, you don't really know that at first. I think they're going to react to rocks being thrown at them, but it didn't. And even if it was props, they didn't seem to make contact with anything. So let's read some more comments. Someone said, "So how did it end? Did you guys eventually just walk away and leave them up there? I'm guessing it was dark. Could they have been people in black costumes with white skeletons painted on or something? How well could you see them? How close did you get?" And the Obi says, "We just ended up walking away because we threw rocks at them and the rocks just wouldn't even faze them. It's like the rocks would just go through them. No, it wasn't dark at all. It was plain daylight out when we saw them. It was getting later in the day, but we could clearly tell it wasn't humans. Like, you could see the rib bones and leg bones, the arm bones, the skull, everything. They didn't make any sounds. I would say we were like a car length and a half away. Wasn't too far because we were throwing rocks. The only thing really keeping us apart was a wire fence and some bush and, well, the train cars. I called my mom and asked if she remembers, and she said yes. She remembers that the little girl had told her that the reason she got so scared was because when she was trying to walk by to go to her house, they wouldn't let her and were stopping her. So I'm not exactly sure what it was the little girl saw before she came running towards me. I really wish I would have walked her all the way home, because maybe then I would have saw more of what she saw. But I would always just walk her to the gates and come back home. We were close to a highway, so I didn't want to stay out too long by passing cars. Never know who's driving by." End quote. That is wild. Well, a couple of things. One, it wasn't even dark out. I assumed that this took place at night, and it didn't. I think they go on to say what time it was, but it sounds like it was maybe sometime in the year where it's like it doesn't get dark until pretty late. So even though it was later in the day, it wasn't dark out. That's crazy. So they could see very well. And they were only a car length and a half away, maybe like 12 feet, 15 feet, 20 feet, not far at all. Wild. And her mom remembers. That's crazy. Someone else asks, "How would bare bones be walking back and forth on a metal surface without making noise?" Opie says, "I'm not sure. I was taking in a lot at the time. I was also 6 or 7. So if they were making click-clack noises, I wasn't paying attention to that. I was paying more attention to the fact that I was seeing 3 skeletons walking back and forth. Also, we lived right by the highway, and highways are noisy. So maybe that could have contributed to me not hearing click-clack. I know what you mean, though." Someone else asked, "What happened to the girl? Did she make it to her place? Did you ever talk to her after?" Opie says, "Her parents came and got her later on that night, maybe like an hour or so later. They really didn't come over much after that. It was mostly when they needed food." One comment says, "It's a little confusing because at first you mentioned dropping her off at the gate of where she lives, like she was essentially home, and then came back to you when she saw the skeletons. Also confusing as it sounds like they were coming over a lot and you had bonded some." Because they're saying it's confusing as to why they stopped coming over. So, the OP said, "We parted at the front gate to my home. Then she just had to walk around a corner, and her house was like right there. The train cars were abandoned on her property. She had to walk past them to get to her house. So on her way there is when she saw them. Then she turned around and ran back to me. Our houses were separated by a wire fence. Next to the fence, it was all bush, and the train cars sat right next to that. I wish I could upload a picture. And I was a loner as a kid. I didn't bond with her like a best friend type, but I did enjoy playing with her when her sisters would come over to clean. Yeah, and like I said, I did look at this area online, and it's pretty desolate as far as the landscape. It's kind of like a desert, like just kind of scrub brush and flat, rocky, dusty landscape. And really remote. This is just really tiny little neighborhood. On when they say a highway, it's not like a four-lane highway like you would find in a busy city. It's like a two-lane highway through the countryside of Texas. It would be a weird place for someone to be messing around. So for anyone who is curious about where specifically this took place in Laredo, Texas, the town, according to them, is called Pueblo Nuevo. So you can look that up or let me know if you are familiar. I mean, it's a really tiny little place. They do give little bits of other odd things of their family's experiences. In the story, they mentioned not having indoor plumbing. In a comment, they say, quote, "We had to use a bucket to go in the middle of the night. We had an outhouse, but the area was really haunted, and my mom didn't allow us to go use the outhouse at night because there was something out there that would mimic her voice and knock on the outhouse door whenever someone used it," end quote. That's spooky. They also say that they believe a lot of witchcraft was done in the area and that their brothers claim to hear a lot of chanting in the woods. One more thing, in the story they mentioned the skeletons, I think just one of them, perhaps, was wearing clothes, which she describes as cut off jean shorts and a tank top with black and white stripes. Interestingly, they said their mom and brother didn't see any clothes on the skeletons. And I'm not counting that as a mark against them, like an inconsistency. This happens pretty often when there's multiple witnesses, people will see things differently, which is curious but common. So I really appreciate them answering all these questions and going into all these. They're very upfront and genuine. And although they're very open to like this having some sort of explanation, they just can't find one based on what they saw and their family members saw. So fascinating that it was broad daylight, there was adults present, and there was interaction, throwing rocks, and they couldn't figure out what it was. Very strange, but I really, really enjoyed that story. Let's move on to our next story. This one was submitted to the Humanoid Encounters subreddit by Nat in Dreams, and it's called Bucky the Leprechaun. I started to think about this one experience I had when I was younger, and now I can't get it out of my head. I didn't see this entity, but I was able to contact it, I guess. When I was younger, every year, the night before St. Patrick's Day, I would always get anxious and paranoid. I didn't know why I did or what caused me to feel that way. I never was the one to believe in leprechauns or any mythological creatures because I found out at a young age that Santa or the Easter Bunny wasn't real, so I was overall skeptical on everything. The day before St. Patrick's Day, my friend was talking about how she was going to write questions for the leprechauns to answer. And she encouraged my other friend and I to as well. And the next day, we can show each other our answers from a leprechaun. I thought it was absolutely silly and told her that it'll probably be her mom or dad filling out the questions and pretending to be the leprechaun. She refused to listen to what I said and kept begging me to do it with her. I told her, fine, I will. And that night, I wrote down some questions for the leprechaun to answer and left a pen for them to write. My friend instructed me to set out snacks and a drink for the leprechaun, so I placed leftover cookies that my mom had made the other night, and I had no milk, so I put a glass of water out. In the back of my mind, this was all just a waste of time, but I also wanted to prove to my friend that they weren't real. That night, I woke up to something touching me, and I started to get anxious and paranoid. My back was facing where I placed the paper of questions and the food, but I was too afraid to turn my head to look. I finally turned my head to see, and there was nothing written on it yet, and then I went back to sleep. I woke up the next day and went to see if there was anything written. I was shocked, and I couldn't move. The cookies were gone. The water was spilled over, and some of it got on the paper, and there were answers. These are the following answers and questions I asked. Question 1. What is your name? Answer. Bucky. Question 2. What is your favorite color? Answer. Green. Question 3. How old are you? Answer. 106 years old. Question 4. Did you like the cookies? Answer. No. Question 5. How tall are you? Answer. 19 centimeters. Question 6. What is your favorite holiday? Answer. Christmas. Question 7. What color is your hair? Answer. Red. The handwriting was so perfect, it looked like it was printed on. I know it wasn't from my mom because she only writes in cursive and her normal handwriting is really sloppy. And my dad would never do anything like this because he isn't the type to be fun and he doesn't celebrate any holidays. And I don't think any of them would take the time to write out every letter perfectly like it was printed. To this day, I have no idea who or what wrote this, and I'm wondering if any of you have an idea what it must have been. Okay, so that's kind of a creepy one. So they said that when they were younger, every year the night before St. Patrick's Day, they would get anxious and paranoid. And I'm wondering, is that before this happened? Or as a result of? As a result of makes sense, but I wonder why they would have been before. It seems like before this happened, the way they put it in. I don't know. The answers to the questions are pretty funny. Did you like the cookies? Bucky says no. And then I also thought it was funny that Bucky's favorite holiday isn't St. Patrick's Day, it's Christmas. Now, I don't know if Bucky is a leprechaun or not, but that's pretty funny. I will say, you know, it's a pretty out there story. That's what we're looking for, right? And I was a little thrown off by them saying that they would always get anxious before St. Patrick's Day, and I couldn't tell if that was something going on before or as a result. But I will say this is the only post for this account, and it was posted 7 years ago. I'm not sure if that makes it more or less convincing or credible. Sometimes to me that gives credibility because I feel like people go out of their way to make a Reddit account just to post something because they want feedback on an experience that they had that troubles them. They're like looking for like-minded people to give feedback, perhaps. Would someone really go out of their way to make a burner account just to post this? Maybe. I mean, it is Reddit. Who knows? I picked one and I almost read it. And then when I looked at the person's accounts, I saw that they had also posted a different story on No Sleep. And I really liked the story that I read of theirs. But once I saw that they had posted something on No Sleep, I was like, I can't trust you. Not that people can't write fiction and also have real experiences, but they also like didn't participate in the comments of this one I didn't read. So yeah, I don't know. For now, it seems like they only made this account to post this, which usually gives credibility to me, but let me know what you think. And they do participate in the comments, which again, I think helps their case because they're not afraid to answer questions and also want to engage. Speaking of the comments, people in the comments ask if they still have the letter, to which they reply that they don't and they think their mom threw it away. Which, if true, isn't that surprising. As an adult, it may seem like an obvious thing to keep as evidence for such an unusual event, but you can't expect a child to hang on to something like that. And if their mom threw it away, then it doesn't really seem like she made it, because you'd think she'd want to keep that and be like, remember this? I don't know. Clearly it wasn't very important if their mom threw it away too. Who knows? So to people in the comments, they're like, well, I don't believe you now, because why wouldn't you have the letter? If you don't have the letter, then I can't believe you. And I don't know if that's totally fair. I understand wanting to see it, and it would help if they did have it. But then someone also makes the point that even if they did have it, it wouldn't matter. People still wouldn't believe them, probably. So, you know, they do present it in a fairly genuine way, I think. Either way, it's a good story. I like it. And the funny little answers of Bucky. Okay, next we are going to go on over to the fairy census. And we're going back to Texas. This story took place sometime in the years between 2000 and 2010, when the witness was under the age of 10 years old. The time was between midnight and 3 a.m. I'm not saying I saw the Tooth Fairy, but it was the night that I lost my first tooth. I wrote a letter to the Tooth Fairy and left it on my nightstand, and had a glass of water by my bed. I was 5 years old at the time. I woke up in the middle of the night because I heard the glass of water hit the floor. I opened my eyes, and I saw a very small light moving slowly across the room, probably 5 feet up in the air. It was golden in color and small. It just looked like a dot of light to me, but I also have terrible vision and didn't have my glasses on. As it neared the doorway to my room, a new doorway opened on the wall to the side of the door, right over the place where a picture of my great-grandmother's embroidering hung. It was like a black, rectangular void, but it had red velvet curtains. The light moved slowly toward it, and that's when I noticed the shadows, silhouettes of animals dancing all over my room, following the light in a line. There was a bear, big cat of some kind. I know there were other shadows, but I can't remember which animals. I looked, and my tooth was still on my nightstand. But when I turned my head again, there was a shadow creeping at the end of my bed. It had fins like a shark or dolphin, but it had two of them. At this point, the light was almost through the doorway, and it seemed like the portal door was closing. But the thing at the end of my bed was getting bigger in size. Being 5 years old, I did the reasonable thing and hid under the covers where I fell asleep. The next morning, there was money on my nightstand and a note from the Tooth Fairy, obviously in my mother's handwriting. But the water glass that had woken me up had rolled under my nightstand, still on the floor. If it wasn't for the water glass on the floor, I would have thought the whole thing was a dream. Okay, so I didn't even realize until I started reading the story, like I didn't mean to put these back to back, that this also is about writing a letter to this kind of holiday fairy, much like a leprechaun. Yeah, this also involves a letter and a glass of water. It was not planned. Interesting. So they also spilled the water. Makes you want to leave a glass of water and a letter out, right? This time they totally knocked the water over. They don't say where the letter was, if it was on their nightstand or something, because you would wonder if maybe, I don't know, their little five-year-old arm was flailing in their sleep and they knocked the water over. Another thing I kind of highlighted is, so they see this golden ball of light moving across the room. They said, it just looked like a dot of light to me, but I have terrible vision and didn't have my glasses on. I kind of highlighted that because I'm like, well, you say you have bad vision, but then you go on to describe all these other things you saw. So does it call into question what they saw and how they could see it? Maybe, but I don't know what their level of blindness is or poor vision is, and I don't have glasses. So I also don't really have an understanding of that concept either. And also, a lot of times, these types of experiences aren't actually seen with your physical eyes. It's like a third eye sighting. Anyway, they see this rectangular, lightless, void doorway open next to the door to their room, and it had red velvet curtains, which I can't really see red velvet curtains and not think of Twin Peaks. But interesting detail, the red velvet curtains. And the light is moving towards it, and then maybe it throws up these shadows, I don't know, and then they see these shadows of dancing animals. It makes me think of like a circus. Until a very creepy, shark-like shadow is swimming, moving up towards them over their bed, or at the end of their bed, as the door is closing. Very creepy experience. And just weird that, yeah, it happened on this night where they lost their first tooth and left a note and a glass of water for the Tooth Fairy. Here are some additional notes from the witness. Quote, "The fairy didn't seem interested in me at all. Only the shadow at the end of my bed was. The fairy looked like a small speck of golden light." And often people will identify balls of light as fairies. There's a lot of accounts in the fairy census of balls of light. And one of the questions on the fairy census is, why did you think that this was a fairy and not a ghost or an alien or something else? And the witness says, quote, "Mainly because it happened on the night I lost my first tooth. But the fairy didn't take the tooth. I always thought it was just paying me a visit. I felt calm when I looked at the light, but the shadows scared me. This experience left me obsessed with fairies through the rest of my childhood, but I never had an experience like that afterwards. I've read a lot of lore and mythology about fairies. In my opinion, they are magical beings that can't be seen unless they want to. The animal shadows I saw that night haunt my dreams to this day. I don't know if the shadows were fairies, but I only got the sense that the one at the end of my bed was evil, not the bear or the big cat. I thought the bear was funny. He was walking on his hind legs and waving his arms like he was dancing. The one at the end of my bed seemed cold and dark. End quote. So yeah, there's like this circus animal element to them. And yeah, so the fairy was flying into the portal. Did they come out of the portal? Interesting, there's a doorway right next to the portal, or the void, the curtained void. But the fairy, seemingly, needed to exit through this void. To me, what was really interesting to me about that story was the red curtained void. But really, how it all comes together, all these elements together, are quite fascinating. The fact that they just lost their first tooth, and they left this letter out to the tooth fairy, and water. That they woke to the water falling. They saw this golden light, this void doorway with red velvet curtains opening in the wall. And then these shadowy dancing animals, and then this scary animal. Just all of it together. It's very surreal. I really like that story. So many good gems from the fairy census. Okay, now we're going to move to the website Your Ghost Stories. This is another forum type website where people submit their paranormal experiences. This one took place in Canada and was submitted by Schuster84. It's called The Cartoon Clown. I know that some people will say this was a figment of my imagination, and while I would love to believe that, I know that it wasn't. So please, I know you mean well, but don't leave a comment saying I was dreaming or imagining things, okay? Thanks. To start with a little background, I was 5 years old at the time this occurred, living with my mom in an apartment. My parents had recently separated. That day, I was at home sick. I had a terribly sore throat and could barely speak. I had cream of tomato soup and a toasted bologna sandwich for lunch and could not finish the sandwich as the toast was too hard and hurt my throat. The point of me telling you this is so that you know that I remember the details of the day leading up to my experience. I spent the day with my mom and cuddled with her while we watched Young and the Restless. In the middle of the night, I was woken up by the sound of the chain coming off the door and the deadbolt unlocking. I thought that it was my mom letting her boyfriend into the apartment as he worked until late at night. I heard footsteps coming through the hall and down into the living room, stopping right outside my door. At that point, I was terrified. I didn't hear my mom talking to her boyfriend or hear him say anything at all, and it was completely silent. The wooden slats in my door shifted and opened, and I saw a 6-foot cartoon clown standing outside the door, looking in at me. I know it might sound funny that it was a cartoon, but I guarantee you that it was terrifying. It opened the door and came into my room. It walked over to be standing above me in my bed. I was trying to scream, but because my throat was so sore, I couldn't make any noise. It had a teapot or something in its hand and was holding it over me and was starting to pour something onto me. I started thrashing around in my bed, trying to make it go away. It worked. It was like I hit rewind on a video. A slow rewind, but a rewind nonetheless. The clown backed out of my room, closed the door. The slats closed again. I heard the footsteps retreating through the apartment. The door opened and closed, and the deadbolt and chain went back on the door. I tried calling my mom, but my voice still wasn't working. I finally got up the courage to go and get my mom, and she came and slept with me. She didn't believe me, and her, along with the rest of my family, laughs hysterically and brings up my little story. I know more than anyone how ridiculous it sounds to have a cartoon clown torment you. I also know that most of you will not believe me and say that because I was a child that I was just imagining things, but I wasn't. I know what I saw, and it was terrifying. First, we'll address their disclaimer of saying, please don't leave a comment saying I was dreaming or imagining things. So I won't make any comments saying they were dreaming or imagining things. I try not to anyway, because anyone who's had this type of experience just hates hearing that, right? And they're not the only person who's had this type of experience. They write in hoping that, well, really just hoping that no one will tell them they're imagining things. But this isn't a totally unique experience. Let's read the comments. There's a good discussion there. First, we'll read one from Holly, who says, I've heard of this before. What I believe is going on is that whatever came into your room made itself look like something you would be able to relate to. It looked like a clown, but it was probably something else. It's possible for things to just, quote-unquote, pass through your residence. Young children are more accepting of the paranormal, and parents just pass it off as a phase or a nightmare. The worst thing you can do is taunt someone who has an experience like this. These tend to be intelligent spirits who find your worst fear and become it. End quote. That's a sinister thought, but it does seem like the clown didn't have good intentions. At least if they did, they weren't taken as such. It was trying to pour hot water or something on them. They said that it looked like they had a teapot in their hand and they were tipping it as if they were going to pour something on them. And I mean, teapots usually have hot water, right? Really weird detail. But yeah, I've definitely heard the theory that whatever people see in these kind of situations, and also situations like alien encounters, extraterrestrial encounters, but especially when people see things that look like puppets or cartoon characters or holiday characters like the Easter Bunny, are either intentionally taking on something that would be recognizable or appealing to children, maybe even scary to children if it's a sinister entity trying to scare you. So it could either be that it's an intentional ability or decision on the entity's part, or could be your mind puts whatever it's seeing through some sort of filter and they come out looking like something recognizable. Whether it's your mind that does the filtering or it's the entity who cloaks itself or something. Who knows? Anyway, that's a theory. Let's go ahead and read more comments. This one's from Bad Juju. Quotes, I really think these are the worst type of experiences. The ones you know happens, but are so completely absurd, no one believes it. I agree with Holly that some beings pick out images that are frightening or otherwise will elicit a strong emotional response. I am glad for you, though, in that this clown thing was a one-time event. End quote. So really quickly before I move on, they say something that made me think of. There's another theory that the like absurdity of these experiences, what would be called the high strangeness experiences, where they just have all these really absurd, abstract details, that's also a calculation on the part of the entity or the phenomenon or whatever, because they know that no one will believe you. I don't know if that's a credible theory or not, but it's interesting. Next comments is from Lan Fairy 81. Quote, I enjoyed reading this, though I cannot say what it was that appeared in your room at a young age. I do recall when my little sister was sick with a fever, and she saw things that weren't really there. And sometimes when we are sick, we become delirious. I'm not saying you didn't see anything, because I see things on a daily basis. But when I am sick, I seem to be more vulnerable. End quote. That's an interesting spin on the idea that being sick would cause some sort of delusion or hallucination. Rather, that we are psychically or spiritually vulnerable or something when we are sick, or maybe more prone to extra perception, which is something I've thought when it comes to mental health, that you're more either vulnerable or extra perceptive when you, say, have a bout of low mental health. But it's not something I've thought of or applied to physical health. And, you know, there is fever dreams and such. I haven't personally ever had like a fever dream or hallucination caused by illness, so I can't personally attest to that experience, but it is something that I guess is a symptom of some illnesses. Moving on, Azura says, quote, I actually believe you. I had something similar, except I saw a goat. Please don't laugh. It walked down the hall and stood in my bedroom doorway. It had red eyes, and it just stared at me. I haven't slept with my door open since then. End quote. Another person in the comment section remembers a red-eyed goat as well. And I've read at least one other story where someone has seen a goat looking in their window. Another person in the comments here also mentions seeing a cartoon clown when they were four. And then Mystical Lad says, quote, I've had a few bad experiences with a clown-like entity, although it was somewhat of a cross between Krusty the Clown from The Simpsons and Ronald of McDonald fame. My family tells me it's a hyper-imagination I have, but it seemed so real. I could have reached out and touched it if I wasn't frozen in fear, end quote. H2O Lily says, quote, my old boss, Tony, remembered standing up in his crib and seeing a horse walk up and stand in the doorway of his bedroom. He was very young, of course, but the event was startling enough for him to recollect it very clearly, and even at that age, he understood that this was something very unusual. He said the horse was upright on its two hind legs and crossed its front legs across its chest, watching him for quite a while. He was a serious and steady character. No staff poked fun when he shared, end quote. That always makes an impact, right? When you hear someone share an unexplainable or strange event and they are someone who doesn't mess around and is very genuine. I know someone like that who has a good paranormal story that I was kind of secondhand. I was there for, but I didn't see it. He was one of those people where it's like, I don't believe in ghosts, but I just saw a ghost. That always makes an impact on you, right? Okay, next comment from Helper12 says, quote, during childhood, I was haunted by something or several things that looked like a cartoon or something 3D merging with reality. I know how bloody terrifying it is. I could not even scream. I don't know why it is so terrifying when you see something cartoon or 3D-like merge with reality. Glad I know I'm not alone. End quote. So I don't really know exactly what they mean by something 3D merging with reality, because general reality would be considered 3D. But I understand that what was conveyed in Schuster's story resonated with them, and that they too found it to be a terrifying experience and found validation in reading this account. So that came across and is important, even if I don't understand exactly what they're describing. Finally, Schuster, the OP, says, quote, thank you so much for believing me. I was super apprehensive about putting this up. Like I had mentioned, I was the butt of many jokes because of it. It makes me feel a lot better that other people have experienced this type of thing as well. I would never laugh at anyone for seeing something, especially a goat. But yeah, I never encountered it again. I did have problems with a demonic entity. I think it was, anyways. I don't know if the two are related or interconnected, as this demonic type force has been on and off since I was in kindergarten. Anyways, thank you so much for the comments and believing me. I was worried to come and read them and have people say I made this up. P.S. Pennywise, the clown, didn't scare me. But as a result of this clown thing, I am terrified of masks. I hate when I can't see someone's face, so I don't know what they're thinking or can't get a vibe off of them. Well, not a good one, anyways. End quote. So they're not scared of clowns, but they are scared of masks, and that's very reasonable. I think, honestly, there's something kind of primal in the human brain to be unsettled by masks, exactly for the reason they said you can't see someone's facial expressions. We read facial expressions to know people's intent, right? And that goes back to before there was language, other animals read facial expressions. So when we can't, I think it does just set off alarm bells. So I wonder if that means then that they feel like they were wearing a clown mask. They didn't specify that. But also, I mean, clowns, even if they're not wearing a mask, they have a painted expression on, right? And it's, you're not getting their real expression. So it's a mask in a way. The comments were really, really supportive, which is really nice. One person just said, very kindly, but they did say, I think this was your imagination combined with illness or something, I don't know. But otherwise, everyone was really supportive. People had their own similar experiences, their own theories, and that meant a lot to them. They mentioned if they wondered if it was connected with a entity that they deem demonic that's been on and off since they were very young, which made me remember, man, I'm sure there are people who, if you're someone who like reads and has read paranormal stories online for a while, or maybe it happens with listening to them too now, with podcasts, but everyone who's been reading like paranormal forums, I'm sure has these ones where you're like, oh, I wish I could find that story again, and you can't. That made me think of this one because I swear it was on Your Ghost Stories. I remember reading a story where someone described seeing two cartoon characters, like, or maybe just one, a cartoon character in real life, like swinging on a swing out their window. And I remember them mentioning them thinking that it was a demon or something, like disguising itself. I read that so long ago and I was like, what the hell? Like, it just stuck in my mind because it was so strange. This was probably the first time, definitely the first time I heard of someone seeing a cartoon in real life. And I can't find it. Unless it was something like someone actually told me, like a friend or something told me. I guess I can't find it. And I really thought it was on Your Ghost Stories. Anyway, I'm sure that's relatable to some people. So yeah, the cartoon clown. Very strange. But it happens. I wonder if it exclusively happens to children. Because I don't think I've heard any adults seeing a cartoon. Well, that's all we're going to have time for tonight. I actually ran out of time. I was going to read one more story, but I also wanted to get this out for a little Halloween treat. And if I was going to do that last story, I would not have made it to release this during the week of Halloween. So we'll save that one for next time. It's a good one, and there's lots of comments with similar stories. So thank you for tuning in tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. If you are listening around the time of me releasing this, or during the month of October, happy Halloween. I will be back very soon with more stories. So until next time, take care and good night.